talking about what is faith. Hallelujah. We've been on this subject. Last week, we were over there and used the main scripture that we use that the Lord gave me last week, a set of scriptures from Mark, the 4th chapter. And I'm going to read them in opening today because as we go in to look, we're still going to be talking about faith. We're talking the areas about saying, in other words, speaking the word of God. And in Mark, the 4th chapter, in verse 26, this is Jesus Christ speaking, and he said, the kingdom of heaven is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is comparable to a man sowing seed on the ground. Well, now, if that same chapter, and you back up and look into that chapter, you will find out that Jesus gave the parable of the sower. And he said the seed was the word of God, and he said the ground was the heart of man, man's heart. So we can say the kingdom of God is like this. It's like someone speaking the word of God, sowing the word of God into an individual's heart. Somebody says something. The parable of the sower is about the words that are said that get into a person's heart. And so it goes on and talks about what produces and what doesn't produce. Now the heart, you need to understand this as we read this. And it says, he should go to sleep, he says, by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. He said, for the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain of the ear. The earth, he told us, the earth, the heart's going to produce the seed that's put in it. If you go to sleep and wake up, if you put things in your heart, whether they're good or bad, you're going to put them into your heart is going to produce that whatever it is, good or bad. It's going to produce it. You're going to go to bed at night, wake up in the morning and bed. If you get it into your heart and you're saying that thing is going to produce good or bad. That's the design. It's just like the ground out here. If the farmer goes out here and buys cheap seed that has other junk in it, you know, I know this for myself. You get out, if you ever went and bought, say, like grass seed, you can buy different grades of grass seed. And some grass seed has a lot of junk in it if you buy real cheap stuff. So don't be surprised. Well, where did all this stuff come from? I planted grass seed. Well, if you got the cheap junk, and this is what a lot of people do. A lot of people are cheap junk talkers. They are Christians, but they're talking cheap junk all the time. And they're planting those seeds in their heart. And they're wondering where all this stuff comes from. I don't understand why this happens to me. I don't understand. I don't understand that. I don't get it. I'm over here. I'm a Christian. I'm born again. Why has God let this happen to me? And they don't realize God didn't make it happen. We produced it. We grew it. We got those words in us and we went to bed at night and woke up in the morning, went to bed at night and woke up in the morning. And one day, all of a sudden, the fruit of that comes. And well, where did that happen from? Where did that come from? And so, understand, this is the principle. That thing is going to grow up. It's going to grow up. This is why we have to get ourselves in line with the Word of God. The words that we say, the words that we are speaking, we need to guard our mouths. We need to guard ourselves and make sure we're saying the right things. Speaking the things that you desire or want. Quit talking about what you have if you don't like what you have. Why would you keep talking about what you have? What's the point? Talking about what I have don't produce nothing. All it does is depress me if I don't like it. The average person loves to depress themselves. They talk about their problems. They talk about, and that becomes the things. Those are the things, well, I have this and I have that. Well, what on earth? Why are you talking? What do you want? Well, I want this. Well, then why do you keep talking something you don't want? Why does that become the major part of the conversation? Like I said, you know, you go to the average person today, they want to talk about their ailments or the weather. And they usually don't like either. So what the average person is going to come and talk to you, and their whole point is they're going to come to have conversation with you. They're going to come to have a conversation with you, and it's on negative terms. That's what they're going to do. They're going to come to you to talk to you on negative terms. Talk to you about something they don't like. And so we have to watch it. That's why I don't, you know, there's some people, I just avoid them. Or when they are talking, I just ignore what they're saying. You know, because my ears are not a garbage pile for people to come and just dump their junk in it. I'm not going to do that. See, some people, they're going to come and complain to you all the time about stuff. They're going to complain, and I learned to know I got a good switch. I can turn it off and just stand there. People don't get it. They don't realize what they're doing to themselves, and then they're trying to get other people to join their party. And so we don't want to do that. I want to look this morning, we're going to talk about the tree of life. What is the thing the scripture says? And, you know, back in the garden, God created, in the book of Genesis, God created the heavens and earth. And when God created man, God formed man, and man was a distinct being than any of the others in the earth. God formed man, and when God formed man, he breathed in him to the breath of life. In other words, it says that God breathed in him the breath of life. In other words, God breathed in him life. No other ones of the creatures did God ever do such a thing. And really, it says they're the breath of life, but actually it's the Hebrew is the word spirit. God breathed spirit into man. What spirit would he breathe in? His spirit into man. He couldn't breathe. Could you breathe other oxygen? Could I breathe your oxygen into somebody else that's in your lungs? Could I do that? No. So God breathed into man. God made man, and that's what he says. Man was made in his image and his likeness. Now you need to understand this. The physical man, your physical body is not your likeness of God. There is a type and shadow of the outer man that's likened to the inner man. But God's creation, because why? This man is not eternal, it's temporal. The eternal man is spirit. God is a spirit. The whole thing is man is a spirit being, and you need to understand that about yourself. That needs to be the top of your list of things that you believe and understand. Because if you look, now, we live in a society today, and most people, it's all about the outside. It's all about the outside. People are focused. This is why a lot of people can't get healed. You can't have divine healing focusing on the outside. You don't get divine healing. Divine healing works from the inside. Divine healing is a spiritual thing that causes healing to manifest in your body. You can't get it any other way. You can't go to the doctor and get it. You can't eat certain food to get it. You can't do it. None of that works. Now, that doesn't mean there's things naturally we can't do to help our body. But divine healing is not any of those. It works through your spirit. It's just like anything else. Faith operates in this manner. It's seeds put into your spirit. Seeds that get into your spirit of the Word of God and causes your inner man, that inner man, the spirit man, to produce things. That's what it does. It's out of the inner man. It can't be produced in any other way, than if you go do something natural. And natural, you're always going to have limits on what you can do in the natural realm. But the Bible tells us all things are possible to him that believeth. He's talking about believing, not in your head. Your head can't produce nothing. Your head doesn't produce anything. Your head cannot produce. It's in your heart. You got to get it in your heart or in your spirit. And see, it needs to become conscious. There's one thing as I learned from teaching of Kenneth Hagin. The Bible says, as many as led by the Spirit of God. You can't be led by the Spirit of God in your mind. God don't live in your mind. He don't live in your head. He lives in your spirit. He's in communion with your spirit. If you ain't in contact with the inner man, you can't be in contact with faith and you can't be in contact with God. All you can know is what God does something on the outside and you see it. But that's not faith. That's not faith. There's no faith in that. There's no faith. Anybody can believe what they see. Anybody can do that. It's about what's on the inside. And when we're talking about faith here, we're talking about something that's believed in the spirit man, and then your mouth begins to say what your spirit man is believing, not what your head's believing. Most Christians are talk out of their head all the time. They're always speaking out of the outer man. God gave Adam and told him he could have control over all the things that he had in the earth. He said, I give you authority over it. His governing authority was by his faith, not by walking around with a rod and beating everybody into submission. See, in the church world, we need to understand it. The authority that we've been given in this earth, as Christians, we have an authority, and it's a spiritual authority. And that authority we're supposed to walk in is out of this inner man. We can change things by what we say. That's why Jesus said to Peter, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. What were the keys of the kingdom? Whatever you think about and you'd like to have, you know, think happy thoughts. And did he say it? He said, no, the keys of the kingdom are this. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What do you bind? Well, what did he mean by that, what you bind? And he said, in other words, the things that you don't want happening here, you bring it to a halt. Wherever you lose here, whatever you allow to happen, well, how do we do that? Well, you've got to take that principle into what the Bible says. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe those things you will say to come to pass. You will have whatever you say. This is in the earth. Man has the authority in the earth. People don't like to hear this. People like to, God's in control. That's what people want. They want God's in control. This way I go to sleep at night and wake up in the morning, sleep at night, and I can do it all the time, and God will take care of things. No, He don't. You better know what you're going to sleep and what you let go the next day, what you've been blabbing and talking. You may not want to wake up some morning because you may have things that you didn't want and it shows up. There's enough things that we have in this world because we live here in this fallen world. We don't need to be creating problems. We don't want to create problems. We don't want to produce them and blame them on somebody else. We need to understand. So we need to get in line. God put man in charge. Now, God made a garden, and He put man in that garden that He made. In Genesis 2:9 says, and out of the ground, He said, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Now, this is what He put in the garden. He said, the tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God put a tree in the garden. Now God told them not to eat. Don't eat that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't do that one. He put that one there. The only thing He told them not to do. One thing, that's it. God makes a whole creation. He does all this stuff. This whole earth. And handed it over to man and said, there's one thing don't do. And that's exactly what they did. They had the tree of life. But let's not knock Adam. God gave us a New Testament. We're born again, and Christians don't follow what God said all the time. And we're born again. So let's not throw rocks at Adam, because you're going to have to throw probably more at yourself. But anyhow, they can eat the tree of life, because we're going to talk about the tree of life. We want to know there's a tree of life, the scriptures tell us. And most Christians don't ever. They're not eating of that fruit. They're eating of the knowledge of good and evil. All the time, Christians are eating the knowledge of good and evil, doing it all the time. Yet God gave the tree of life. So the tree of life was there. God said, you can eat as much as you want of that thing. You go ahead. You can eat life. Now, that tree of life represented this. We find the fall of man, because what happens when man sinned? It says in Genesis, in the third chapter, verse 22 says, then the Lord said, this is a man after man's fall, behold, man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat it and live forever. See, God couldn't let them in that state eat of the tree of life. Why? Because man would have eternally stayed in the state of spiritual death. He would have been unredeemable. Unredeemable. So God, no more tree of life for you guys. Not in the condition, not the state you're in. You can't do that. But God had a plan concerning salvation. God put him out of the garden. He put an angel there so they couldn't go come back into the garden. Now, one of the things I do want to talk to us about, because of dealing with the fall there, what happened, and understanding yourself, because we're talking about the subject of faith, and this would be good for you to understand about. Paul wrote in Timothy, in the 1 Timothy, the second chapter of 1 Timothy, in verse 14, Paul made this statement. And he said, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Now, the woman was deceived and fell into transgression. In other words, she was the first one to sin. And I've taught on these things before, that if Adam wouldn't have sinned, Adam could have still, through Eve, produced children without the sin nature. He could have still done it. If he couldn't have done that, then Jesus Christ couldn't have been born in through the earth, the Holy Spirit, through a woman who had the sin nature. Mary had the sin nature just like everybody else. That's why, that's why the Catholics think Mary was divine. Because they can't register in their mind, they don't know the Bible. And which most of the Protestants don't either. So most Spirit-filled people don't either. They don't know and understand the operation, its work. The soil produces whatever seed is put into it. And the seed chooses what something is, not the soil. That's why God in His great wisdom, He didn't produce a being that produced after itself without a mate. Why? Because then there would have been no way to produce something outside of that. It would have been a fallen, everything would have been a fallen nature. It would have all been a fallen nature. He couldn't have done that. So God made man and woman. See, God's wise. He does it. God's smart. And all men do today is fight and try to break up everything, and even in the church, God does, because man in their wisdom think they know what's going on and what's happening. God set things in order, and His order was the purpose of bringing redemption to man, not to what most people think they're in the earth for today. And so God had reset this. Now in Romans, Paul wrote again and said about this thing with Adam. He said in the 5th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul writing the Romans said this in verse 14. He said, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is the type of him who was to come." That's speaking of Christ. But here he mentions the transgression of Adam. What was his transgression, or what was his sin? Actually, Adam's sin was worse than Eve's, because Adam was not tempted to sin. He just willfully sinned. He just willfully sinned. He wasn't tempted. How did he get over where he sinned? Well, I will tell you how that one worked. James wrote about it. James, in the first chapter of James, said this. And see, this is where you need to, and we're talking about the areas of faith. We're talking about faith. We're talking about what you say. We were taught about meditation, thinking on things. What do we do? In first chapter of James, in verse 13, he said, "Let no one say when he's tempted, 'I'm tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." So see, God didn't tempt. So I've heard people say, "Well, you know, God allowed the devil to do that." Well, that's right. God allowed the devil to do it, but God didn't tempt them, and instead allowed the devil to tempt them. Well, we're going to find out there's only one way that you can be tempted, really, which is the major way, that temptation comes to all of us. Verse 14, "But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed." If you don't have a desire for something, you can't be enticed. You can't be, the reason you get tempted is because it's things you've been wanting to do and you've been looking at and you've gotten yourself a desire for it. Oh yeah. You know, there's things that each one of us here, we would different ones have different things that they would not be tempted doing because they have no desire to do it. They don't want to do it. So they couldn't be tempted to do it. Yet, all of us have things that our flesh would like to do. And so the devil comes and tempts you in that manner. See, this is why you want to learn to bring your flesh under. Because there's things that you get desired. This is why meditating and thinking on the wrong things. I know this about Adam. Adam's been looking at that tree and been meditating on that tree for a long time. He's been watching that tree. Him and Eve had talked about that tree. Look, nobody just gets tempted like that. All of a sudden they want to do something. Why? They got over in the natural instead of staying over in the spirit. Staying over there eating of that tree of life. No, they got looking over here at this. Now, it's really, don't throw rocks. You do the same thing. There's things that you look at that you shouldn't. You know, and start getting a desire for something. You look at something. You talk about it. And this and that and the other thing. And after a while, there becomes a desire. You know, like let somebody aggravate you. Then go talk about the aggravation. And then go on and go on till you build it up, till you get to the places. Man, I want to choke them. Well, you have to learn to subdue that. You learn how to bring that under. You have to learn to deal with that. See, you can't go meditate now. You can't go to bed at night, and that's a thought on your mind of what they did. And that's laying there, that thought. I'll tell you, I pray in tongues. I just pray in tongues and keep myself going. I'll do that. I'm not. Why? Because you can't let a meditation. Why? After a while, you'll get a desire. If you keep meditating on it, your flesh will get a desire to want to do something about that. Your flesh will start to hook to it. It won't be your mind anymore. Your flesh will want it. Adam, when Eve walked up and said, "I ate it, go ahead and try it." I know what Adam was thinking. Well, she ate it, I might as well too. And and then said to God, "Hey, the woman you gave it to me." He told Adam not to eat it. God didn't buy the excuse. They were both out of the garden. No more tree of life. It's gone. So, it's the same with us. Temptation comes with whatever desires that we have a desire. One of the things, you don't want to get wrong desires. You know, the Bible says in the scripture I quote, God gives you, the desires of your heart. Well, I want to tell you what this, you got to watch what desires you put in your heart. Loads of people have wrong desires in their hearts. Christians get loaded with wrong desires. They let desires get in. They're all talking about bad stuff. They're talking about problems. They let it get inside of them. After a while, they have unforgiveness. They have all those things are growing inside of them. They get over into those areas and they get into that stuff. It is bad enough to have it in your flesh. You don't want it in your heart. And it gets in there. There's nobody gets over there in their heart in unforgiveness without been blabbing it with their mouth. That's how it gets planted. So you can't say, "Well, I didn't talk about it. It just fell in there one day." No, it didn't. It got in there through voicing it and voicing it and voicing it. And after a while, you just want to get over there and that thing grows up and all of a sudden fruit comes out. You see, that's a lot of people committing murders and doing stuff and things going on. People say, "Well, I don't know. They seem like such a nice person." It just didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen overnight. The person put things in them and put things in them and put things in them. And they did it till that thing started growing. And one day, fruit shows up. And everybody is shocked. And the last group that should ever be shocked, and Christians are the Christians are the dumbest in the bunch. How many times that I hear Christians say, "I don't understand why that happened." And I think, and they're talking about, somebody doing something bad, really bad. How could it happen? Well, let me just say that. That is a sign of Christian ignorance gone to seed. You should surely know why it happens. I can tell you. I done read the book. I can tell you what causes this stuff to come to pass. The book teaches us how it comes to pass. How it happens. So the wonderful thing it teaches, I know how to avoid it. So I ain't the guy that gets the gun and goes out and shoots 10 people. You see, you keep putting things in, and eventually things come out, and people are, "Well, how did that happen? I don't get it. I don't know how that happened." Praise God, I do. Now, we want to look at something. We're going to the book of Proverbs. There's some things here. Thursday morning, about 3:30 in the morning, the Lord, 4:30, the Lord woke me up and was talking to me about this. You know, I would have thought he'd talking to me too the day when I was studying it, but he waited and got me up. He does that. was talking to me about these. But I want to look at Proverbs, the 15th chapter. Now, some interesting things, because when you look at these, sometimes, we look at scriptures and we look at them about, what we think we know about them. But listen what it says here. It says in Proverbs, the 15th chapter, in verse 4 says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it," in what? In the tongue. In other words, we're talking about what you say. Perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Now, so I found this interesting. I had a sense to go over, and I followed it. Lots of times, the Lord leads me over to look at words. The word here, wholesome tongue, that word actually literally means a medicine. It's literally means medicine. Abstractly, it means a cure or a deliverance. So, it's healing or health or remedy. In other words, you could use a healing tongue as a tree of life. In other words, he's talking about something. Now, we look at healing, we take it from the physical something. In other words, healing, if I was sick in my body, it would be something that fixes that healing, that whatever it is. Or in here, if we look at it from its use, in other words, there's a tree of life. It may not specifically, we could use the term, sort of metaphorically, really, when talking about a medicine. In other words, whatever I have a problem, my tongue, it can be a remedy, because one of the translation is remedy. My tongue is basically going to be a remedy to my problem. My tongue is. My tongue is a remedy to my problem. Now, if my body needs healing, my tongue is the remedy, it's the medicine. My tongue can be the medicine. It can be the tree of life. Now, see, you wouldn't think about something being a tree of life and something going bad. Something happens. So here we have that the tree of life in this earth for you and I walking around is what we say. Is what we say. Why? Because we're planting words as we say. We're planting words. See, you want your tongue to be a tree of life, don't you? See, we got a tree of, our tongue can be a tree of life, but how many people are using it to cause their own problems? See, they're eating the knowledge of good and evil all the time. They're always talking about, you know, this is good, this is evil, and I always end up with evil. I got this, I got that problem, I'm this, I got this, yeah, this is, I don't understand this, why they do all this stuff. People going on all the time, they're never speaking life to themselves or their problems. If they do, it's a very minimal amount of time. When they go over and pray and ask God for something, they have this little minimal window that they say something maybe that's over in the area of something productive. But generally, they're talking down on that situation. They're talking about it. They're talking about their problems. They can't wait till somebody comes and they get to tell them what the doctor said about them. And they can go on to that. And then what you do is you get that person agreeing with you saying the same thing. How do you expect that to change? I would be very cautious of who I would tell them what my problem is. Very cautious. Because I know this, people would go blind, but especially me as a minister, if I told a person something, surely they would go tell 10 other people. Then they would all get in agreement working against me. They couldn't wait to tell somebody what the problem is. That's why I never said anything to you guys as a congregation. I never said nothing concerning Wanda's operation till the day before it was taking place. I'm wise. I don't want the devil tempting people, getting over and thinking. I didn't want people praying other stuff, thinking about other things. We already had the thing settled. We already knew the outcome. We had it. I don't want to get people on board to go someplace else and say, well, we're going to pray for one, and then they get over and start praying all kind of other stuff. Don't go. This thing is settled. That's why I told you folks exactly what I want you to believe. That wasn't being bad. We had set a direction. We want agreement. And if people don't agree, why would we even want to talk to people and tell them about it? We don't need something else thrown in on the sidelines. We already set our goal, and now we have faith, and I got substance, and Wanda and I had substance to what our hope was. We were in faith and knew the outcome. See, this is how things work. See, the average person, the average Christian, even spirit-filled Christian, doesn't know how to operate like that. They don't know how to do it. We talk too much about stuff. We go into too much detail, you know. It's like the person, you know, you have to go to the doctor and you always get the people that want to find out every little dirty detail and want to know everything. Those are people who are not faith people. So those are the kind of people you don't ever tell them that. Because they're never with you. Oh, they'll say we are, we love you, and naturally they might think so. But they're working against you whether they realize it or not. You know, we want agreement on things. Hallelujah. Agreement's powerful, but agreement also works because when they were building the Tower of Babel, their agreement was working against God. But getting somebody to agree with you in a wrong thing sets more power in motion to bring to pass your problem. You know, one thing is I learned when I started off in faith, my mama's in heaven now. I'd have never told my mama about a problem. Never. Because my mama would have been speaking against the thing the whole time. Oh, this is happening. This is going. Oh, mama would have been running at the mouth and say, I love my mama. But you did. When it came to those things of faith, you never discussed it with mama. I would have said, mama, pray for me. I never. Mom, no, no, no. The best thing to do is keep mama silent. I'm not making fun of my mom, but that's, you know, that's where she was. I mean, that's where she lived. And I mean, you know, and I knew it. She's like when I was in service. I never wrote a home letter when I was in Vietnam and never told my mom. My mom thought I was on a vacation over in Vietnam. She didn't, I would, as a sinner, I knew you didn't tell my mama about a problem. I can't believe how dumb Christians are. How they blat things out. And here they get them fighting against people, fighting against the direction they're going by saying stuff to them they should never. If you have a friend who is always knows the latest gossip that's going on, you definitely don't ever talk to them about nothing. Praise God. Folks, that's good. Preach. You want your faith to work? You don't need opposition to your faith. I don't know about you. I don't want opposition to my faith. And so we need to understand these things, because we say these things and then people get over and we get them start speaking against the direction we're going. Understand, in the atmosphere of the spirit world, that sets things in motion. And you end up fighting. It's like the man told Kenneth Hagin. He said, I was doing fine in the hospital and my church started praying for me. He said, they'd like to kill me. He said, I was believing I was healed, and they're just over there all the time praying, trying to get God to heal me and do something and everything. And he said, man, he said, when they started praying, he said, man, I started a battle. He said, man, I started a health battle. So sometimes don't say anything. Glory to God. Well, we find out here it says this tree of life, your tongue can be a remedy to your problem, your tongue. Isn't that wonderful to know? See, we need to, so many people are looking here for remedy. There, God just said that your tongue is your remedy. Your tongue is your healing. Your tongue, what you're going to say. Are you going to speak in line with the Word of God? Or what are you going to be speaking? What are you saying? Your tongue is the remedy. You can have the tree of life. Well, what happened? It says, what about the tongue? Now listen to what he says in here. What happens to the tongue that is perverse? Perverse means this: to turn away from what is right or good, corrupt, improper, incorrect, obstinate in opposing what is right, reasonable, and accepted. And then he gave a word for it, wrong-headed. To being obstinate, what does the obstinate do? Speaking against the Word of God, saying other than the Word of God, speaking other than the remedy and cure, it breaks the spirit. And that word breaks there, one of the things it means to crash, to bruise. It's like a broken bone, a broken foot, or a broken hand. It's destruction, it's hurt. Many people don't realize what they're saying is injuring their own spirit. The devil ain't doing it. People do it. People damage their own spirit by speaking against. Inside of us, you and I have the life of God. You got born again. You got the nature of God. Many Christians speak against the nature that's in them. One of the ways we're taught to do that is people go along and say, well, you know, the Bible says a man's heart's evil and always goes toward evil, and they say those things out of the Old Testament. That was unsaved men. My heart does not go toward evil. My heart's been created in the likeness of God. It wants to go right. If you want to grieve me, or I want to be grieved, all I got to talk to is against the life that's in me. So you go over there in that area, and inside of you there's life going, and you start speaking words to start to crush your own spirit, to start to get your own spirit into a hurt by speaking against it. See, you got to learn to be sensitive on the inside. You can't speak against your nature in the inside. See, people lose their conscience. They so talk negative so much that after a while, they are no longer even sensitive on the inside. Their spirit's trying to say, you're killing me. Their own human spirit trying to say, you're killing me. Stop it. And no, they just keep on and keep on and keep on. See, you can't do that. Don't be the one who injures your own spirit. In Proverbs the 11th chapter, in verse 30, listen what it says here. He says in verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. But I want to see the first part. The fruit of the righteous is what? A tree of life. Now, what is righteousness? Righteousness is of by faith. So we could say this, the fruit of faith is a tree of life. Righteousness is by faith. It always is. Abraham, you know, believed God and was counted to him as righteousness. Righteousness is always by faith. The Bible teaches us that our walk is a walk of faith. It's because we're the righteousness of God, and our walk is of faith. Now, I want to listen to this. from Isaiah 61, we're going to find there's two verses, 1 and 2. Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. These are words that are put in the New Testament that Jesus said, and he would say when he would call, he would get the book of Isaiah. We found like in his hometown he did it. He read these scriptures. Says as this was what he did when he went from place to place. He would go into the to their synagogue, the place where they met, and he would read this. And he said, now he made this statement, and here's what he said, reading from them. Now he told them that these scriptures were fulfilled in their ears. In other words, he's the fulfillment of this thing. Now the first two verses, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Now I'm reading from Isaiah, directly from it. Has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of God, to comfort all who mourn. And I want you to see it. Verse 3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, for this, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified, the trees of life. You and I are the trees that have been planted. We're the planting of the Lord. That's what we are. We're the planting of the Lord, he says. What are we? We're called trees of righteousness. See, trees produce something. He said, God did this so he would be glorified. God is glorified. John wrote and said about that. He talked about the fruit of prayer. He said, John spoke in John 15 and said there that concern that that our prayer life, in other words, what God would answer whatever we ask, said that he might be glorified. So when God's glorified through faith being producing something, our faith producing God's will in our life, that's how God's glorified. How many times over the years I've heard people say, well, somebody was sick for the glory of God. You know, they use that thing about Lazarus, and that isn't what the Bible says. The glory of God was his resurrection, not him being sick. Dear God, the glory of God was revealed in the resurrection. Christians generally move to the negative. I don't know why, but they generally move to the negative. And see, we need to get over here. He said, we're the planting of the Lord. Isn't that what Jesus did? Or the new birth. We're the planting. We're this tree. We're this tree, and this tree produces stuff. And this stuff that it produces is supposed to glorify God. See, this is the Bible says, what? We're supposed to glorify God in our bodies. How do we do that? You want the things of the Spirit manifesting in your body. Healing is something of the Spirit. Jesus took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. He did that so it could manifest in your body so you could believe him. Jesus took your sin so you could have it manifested in your body so you don't walk around sinning all the time. And you don't believe those crazy preachers and people say, well, we're just going to sin. You know, we're just going to sin. Speaking against the Bible, speaking against the Word of God. See, how do we think we're going to succeed talking against the Word of God? You can't do it. You can't succeed. We can't be this tree producing fruit. We can't be the planting of the Lord and producing this other stuff. You have to go along with what God's doing. And so this righteous person by God is to produce, it's supposed to be this righteous, what, they're a tree of life. See, we're like the tree that's planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf never withers. Whatever it does prospers. That's what we are. That's the church. That's the first psalm. Just the first thing David has written down to put as a psalm. They put that number one on the list. Boy, the church never sings that one. They're always going through the shadow of the valley of death, you know. Over there, and I didn't even talking about death, and they took that, carried it over, and took a scripture that would inspire life, and then throw it out in every funeral and make it death. Man, that's the church. 23rd Psalm ain't about dying, it's about being alive, going through stuff and coming out the other side on a victory, dear God. When bad times come, God's made a table for me. He didn't close the casket lid and nail it shut. Dear God, I tell you, Sunday, you get over and you think, What on earth? Is there anybody born again out there? Does anybody have life out there? Don't you ever wonder that? Don't you ever stop and think, my God, if all the churches burned down in Lebanon, I don't think it hurt a thing. I don't think it changed a thing spiritually. My God. Because of what's said, it's not life, not a tree of life. We'll be life producers. Life producers. That's what God wants us to be. He planted you. He planted you for that purpose. Hallelujah. He goes, and you know, in 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, familiar scripture. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. See, we're that planting of the Lord. We're that new creation. What is it? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If any man be in Christ, are you in Christ? See, you need to walk around and tell you're a new creation. Don't ever talk that stupid jump telling people you're just like they are. If they ain't born again, they ain't nothing like me. I'm a new creation. I'm not the person. My wife got born again because when I got born again, I became a different person. I don't believe in getting the new birth and being like you were. I don't believe in that Christianity because that is not Christianity. It's not biblical. Many people conform to a religious way. But I'm going to tell you what, today there's very few births. Very few births. Because there ain't a decent gospel half the time preached to bring somebody to one. To come to life. See, we come to life. A changed life. Glory to God, I got a changed life. You know, I didn't sit around and read the Bible and want to go to church. I didn't want to be around the things of God. I got born again, and man, I'll tell you what, I got after it. I don't want any people get born again. Never want to have anything to do with God. Never touch your Bible, read the Bible, say, I'm born again. I do not believe that. You can say, I've heard wind blowing already. My way, it rattles and shakes stuff, and that's all that is for me, is a rattle and a shaking. There's no life in it. Hallelujah. The righteous are a tree of life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what we are. For in Christ Jesus, there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. What? But a new creation. That's what you and I are. We're new creations. See, you need to talk about yourself being a new creation. Don't talk about what you think you are, what you feel like. Well, I just feel so bad. Why don't you just, you know, saying those things, does that really make you feel better? I just feel so bad. Oh, I'll tell you what, I just feel so terrible. I'll tell you what, this is going to improve my life. I can just see it now. I'll tell you what, I'm just really feeling bad. After a while, I'm going to tell you, when you were doing, you know, just a little bit bad, after a while, you just go, I've got to go sit down. I can't move anymore. I'll tell you what, she keeps saying it. So that's what James said. He said, if you control your tongue, you control your whole body. See, I learned that principle a long time ago. I learned that principle. God taught it to me. I was only born again a couple months and he taught it to me because I asked him about acting in faith, what to do. And you guys have heard me tell the story. I went to get up in the morning to go to work. I was only born again a couple months. Got up to go to work and just, man, my body was sick. My body wanted to throw up, feel bad, whatever else. My body wanted to do. And I just made a confession, you know, 1 Peter 2:24, claimed I was healed. And a thought only, I never said this, but a thought just went through my mind. But God captured my thought so I didn't bring it over and put it on my lips. Thank God he did. He went and stopped. He said, that thought just went through my mind. And he said, if you call off work, you're going to stay in bed sick all day. And I knew it was God. It came up out of me. I knew it was God. I was like, he said, and then he followed. He said, you believe 1 Peter 2:24? Well, I said, sure. And I quoted it to him. See, I'm really smart. I quoted it to him, boy. And you know what he said back to me? He didn't say, way to go, you know how to quote it. He looked back to me and said, why don't you act like it's true? Oh. Oh, we're going there, huh? I just want to say something nice, and you know, I got to do something? But see, he said, you got to act like it's true. See, you start to act against things. Sometimes you're limited in what you can do against certain things. Sometimes you're limited. But you got to get your voice in a direction. But see, I had set myself to go in a wrong direction. He said to me, if you say you're going to be sick in the bed all day. And I thought, man, I don't want to be there sick all day. Now, some people don't mind that. Some people take off work and rather be sick and go to work. I feel sorry for people like that. First of all, they need to get saved, get delivered from that demon that's in them. Bible says work's good. God blesses the labor of your hand. You don't want to go to work, you're a problem. Say, well, you don't understand where I work. Yeah, I do. You're there. I hear your whine. They have to put up with you there. They have to hear your voice. Okay, we'll quit meddling. Let's go on. Well, don't set yourself up to go to work. I don't care if they are idiots. Don't walk around and make yourself miserable before you get there. Dear Lord. This is just good preaching, folks. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. But you're a new creation. Our newly created human spirit is the kingdom soil. It's a garden that we can plant the seeds of God's incorruptible words with our voice and water them with our voice and produce the fruits of eternal life in this earth in our life. This new being that you are, you can produce in it. You can produce, and your inner man can be your tree of life. Your inner man, putting the seeds of God's word in it, saying those seeds and believing those seeds, and let those things rise up in you, walking around saying those things, walking in line with those things. Hallelujah. Believing those things. Hallelujah. That's what you want to do. Walk in light of what you are. It was one thing I used to, do is talk about being a new creation. See, as most people think of themselves as a mind. People talk about, who they are. They look as a mind or a body. I'm a spirit being, number one. I'm a spirit being. That's number one. And the first thing I want to respond to is my spirit. I don't want to respond to my body and my mind on number one. Most people, they do that. They respond to their mind and their body because they never come to the place and talk about it. Number one, you're never going to come to the place where it comes number one in your mind, you're a spirit being and never talking it or saying it. Whatever you say the most is going to get in you. I'm a spirit being. I have a soul. I have a mind, will, and emotion. And I live in a body. My body is not me. If you think my body's me, I can't wait till you get to heaven and find out you've been wrong all the time you lived in the earth. This is the house we live in. See, we live in a society today. We know how Satan has taken. We're even the body. The body becomes the number one thing. Even in the church, whether it's the area of healing and finances, those things become number one rather than their spiritual development. You get spiritual development, you can get healing, you can get money. That you can get. But we put those things, see, things that make the body and the flesh feel good. Oh, if I just get more money, that's really... hold it. I got to develop this inner man where he's pumping out life, where it turns around, where my tongue is my cure. My tongue becomes my cure. My tongue can bring the finances that I need. My tongue can become my tree of life, the remedy to whatever I may need or whatever I want. And see, we don't put that first because we're not conscious that we're spirit beings. We're only conscious of the natural, and we keep trying to produce everything around the natural in us. We're trying to produce that. That becomes number one. If you understand and develop on the inside, you can produce those things. And it isn't a drag or hard to do it. It's not something you're just laboring at and laboring at. It's spiritual development. It happens by confessing the Word of God on who and what you are till that becomes a reality. I came to the place concerning with dealing with healing when I knew who I was in the inside. I knew God would never deny me healing. I knew He'd never do that. People are fighting that all the time. I never fight that. I never have that fight. The devil can't drag me over that place to tempt me that God wouldn't heal me. He can't drag me to that place because I said so many things that on the inside of who what God made me and what I am. And see, people aren't doing it. They're always talking about what they want to get. And so we do want to make confessions about, but we need to come over and have development on the inside. You're a new creation. Hallelujah. This is what you are. You're a new creation. You've been created in the likeness and the image of God. You're like God. He made you. You're in fellowship with God. You're His actual child. That's what you are. You've been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you don't understand what that's about, it isn't a nice place to sit and say, I'm seated in heavenly places. What good's it doing you? Do you understand the authority that you have? Do you know who you are? Do you know? If you don't, it don't matter. You can say those scriptures, but you need a revelation. You need to say those scriptures till all of a sudden one day you know what them scriptures mean and what they say. And then you take that place. See, the Bible tells us, you know, we're supposed to reign in life as kings. Nobody's a king that don't know their authority. There is no such thing. God, you can take that scripture and say it all you want, but if you don't know your authority and how the extent of your authority, you ain't reigning in nothing. They're just nice scriptures. You must find out. How far does my reigning and ruling go? Where is this thing at? What is it? What do I reign over and what don't I reign over? Our president don't rule over, China, does he? Well, no. The Chinese president don't rule over America, does he? No. They have to know what they're governing they're under. People just go around and say these scriptures, and it's wind blowing in the air. It's coming down to this stuff as knowledge. So I know where I stand and what belongs to me. When the devil comes up and says, healing don't belong to you, I say, it's too late. Jesus already healed me. The people who are trying to get healed, they never say that. They'll come and whine to you and tell you, the devil said I can't have my healing. They have more faith in the devil than they do God. You know, I've told people already, they ask, well, God going to heal them? And I said, no, God ain't going to heal you. And you know, they get all upset about that. What do you mean God won't heal me? I said, he already did. He's not gonna. He already did. He already took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. He already did it. So see, getting over there, finding out where you reign and rule, finding out the place that's yours. And this is what you want to do. You want to get that down inside of you. You're the new creation. Now look in Proverbs 13:12. Proverbs 13:12 says this, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Hope deferred. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire comes, it's a tree of life. Hope deferred. Hope deferred. What does it do? Makes the heart sick. This is what happens to many Christians. They never get into faith, so their hope is always deferred. It's always out there. It's something they're always trying to get to. It's a goal. You know, a goal, it's sort of like, you know, taking the apple and putting it out in front of the horse to make the horse go down the road. Now, that horse is so dumb, it doesn't realize it ain't going to get the apple, and it just keeps going after that and going after that apple and going after that, so it walks down the road. It's most Christians today. They see the promise of God out there, and they ain't ever getting it. And they're too dumb to know it. Now, I'm not saying this stuff to criticize. I'm just telling you, I know the way things work, what people do. They keep walking down. They see, God wants to do this for me. God wants to do this. And you know, and next year, it's still as far out in front of them as it was last year. And 10 years down the road, it's still far. And you know what happens? Now, they came to the place of just total discouragement on the inside. Their heart's sick. Because now they finally figured out, it's time, I'm still going. Some reason, then they start and we make up a new Christianity. Now we start a new, and we come up with a new doctrine. And it's called, sometimes God says yes, and sometimes He says no. And sometimes He has me waiting for a purpose. And He's going, people start doing, why? Your heart gets sick, and you start developing, because people start saying those things, and your heart starts producing the fruit of that. And you begin to speak against God's word. You begin to talk against what God said. You begin to speak it, and your own heart gets sicker and sicker and sicker. After a while, you're grieved. You just walk around and say, well, yeah, I know God wants it. You're only saying that to try to make people think, oh, yeah, you know, like I'm doing something spiritual. When inside you're saying, I'm fed up with this thing. It ain't working. We won't stop and say, it's not working. We won't stop and say, you know, this thing ain't working. I learned a long time ago. I go to the Lord, Lord, I said, this thing ain't working. Where am I missing this thing? Why ain't it working? I want you to know this. Generally, God is not going to speak to you till you ask Him the right question. I have been in this thing long enough to know it's true. You keep pushing in a direction and don't stop, and it ain't working, and you don't stop and say, why it don't work, God will just keep you letting run down that road. He'll just let you run down that rabbit trail and go down that rabbit trail and go down that rabbit trail till you wise up and stop and say, and get humble and stop and say, you know what? I must be missing it. If you ain't got there, man, you're in trouble. I've been there many times where I had to stop and say, God, this thing ain't working. What's going on? You got to stop. Say, hold it. I don't believe in believing for something for 10 years and nothing ever changes. I don't believe in that. I've never had that happen. So I don't believe in it. The Bible tells me that when I call on God, He responds to me quickly. That's what it says. I believe that's true. I don't believe this other junk. The reason many times it takes us a long time for it to happen, because it takes us a long time till we get in line. That's why it takes a long time. It don't take a long time because God had any intent that it took a long time. It's because till we line up with what's true. Sometimes we're taking shots at things and we really don't know about it. And as we go along and are taught more and more, we certainly start getting over and more in line with what's right. And eventually get in line right. Well, God had me wait for a reason. No, He didn't. No, He didn't. I never had to wait for ages to get something to change in my body. I never had that happen. I don't know what people are even talking about with it. I have no clue. And so we need to come. We need to get down and get in line with the truth. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. See, Hebrews 11:1 says this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is this. If you could see naturally your healing, you have no reason to be in faith. If you see naturally the money and it's in the bank, you don't have to have faith. Faith deals with what is unseen. Your hope is for something that is not seen in the natural. Your hope, the goal that you set, is for something that is not naturally seen. What will bring it to pass is faith. And faith deals with that unseen thing to bring it to the seen. Now it tells us that faith is the substance. In other words, faith is the substance. Some translations say faith has substance. But here it says is faith is the substance. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of not seen. So without faith, your hope will never come to pass. It can't come to pass. There has to be. Why? Because hope has no substance. Hope has no substance. Hope can't bring. Understand, faith is substance. The substance of faith will produce something. Do you know you can't produce something out of nothing? You know God don't produce. God set a system in this earth and governing laws. Nothing produces out of nothing. Did you know God made it that way? God don't produce anything out of nothing. I've heard people say that. That is not true. God produces things out of faith. Faith is substance. That's why in the earth, God made the creation in the earth like His kingdom. Everything is created here that we do through substances. We create and make things. No thing is made without substance. It has to have substance. This is why we know from the standpoint when they talk about, people talk about, well, you know, this thing here, you know, there was just a blob floating around out here in space and this thing. We know that's not true. That couldn't happen because how did those substances had to get there? Those substances. Substances can't just show up. Now God has faith, and God through faith produced and made the earth. How did He do it? Through the substance of faith. God had a goal He wanted to set. He wanted to create an earth. He had a hope, but His faith produced that hope. His faith, His words were the substance. And you need to know this. The Word of God is your substance. The Word of God is your substance. When you believe the Word of God and you declare it is true and it's yours and you have it, that is your substance that you stand on till it shows up. See, many people, they're teaching them about faith and substance. When they talk about substance, they just go by it and says, well, faith is your substance. Well, what is my substance? The Word of God. That's my substance. I can look on the page of the book and I can say, you know, God said this, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. That's my substance and my healing right there. If I believe that and stand on it, that's going to show up. That will produce, that substance will cause in this realm my healing to come to pass. Because it can't come to pass without substance. And hope has no substance. Hope's a gold. I like what Charles Capps uses the thing of hope. He said hope is like putting a thermostat on a wall. Here's the thermostat. That thermostat, all it does is set a goal. That's all it does. You put on the temperature you'd like. Now this thing right now is just set on heat, but you can put it on heat and air conditioning. And put the temperature you want, and that thing will go back and forth between heat and cool to keep this place a certain temperature. It'll do that. But it can't do a thing. You know, Charles Capps said this, if you took a guy who didn't know nothing about this kind of stuff, and you put a thermostat in the wall and you turn around and the heat would go up or it'd get cool, he might walk over and, what's that? Well, that's a thermostat. We set a temperature you want. And didn't tell him anything else. He'd get out of the store and want to buy a thermostat and put it in his house, see. I'm going to put that in my house, you know, because I can just set in this thing will make whatever temperature in the room I want. No, the furnace or air conditioner does that. That's a goal setter. The substance is the furnace and the air conditioning unit. They are the substance. They produce. They can produce what that wants. That can do nothing without them. See, when God said, without me, you can do nothing, you get it? Do you get it? Your faith cannot produce without Him. His Word is the substance. See, no man prayer looking around. Well, you know, what am I going to stand on? I can't look at what I see. Well, keep looking at the Word. Keep saying what the Word says. That's your substance. That's the proof that what God has said for you, that's the proof that it belongs to you, that it's yours. And you stand on that till it shows up. When it shows up, you don't need to look at that anymore. You already have it. It shows up. You see, we need to understand this. People are looking for something else to stand on. There is nothing greater than the Word of God to stand on. There's nothing more powerful. The Word is called the incorruptible Word. It's, if you believe it and you've said it with your mouth, it is impossible for that to be corrupted. The only way it ever gets corrupted is you start believing other things, start doing this, doing that, believing it, and not walking in line with it. And see, I said the Word. I believe what the Word said. I said what the Word said, and the Lord said, now act like the Word's true. See, this is many people. They never act like it's true. And what faith without works or faith without corresponding actions did. What happens? People, they get off of what? They let things get off of what the Word. The Word tells them they're healed, but they just love to act sick. They love to act as sick as much as they can. Oh, yeah, if I'm feeling bad, I can call off work. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what, that's really a good one. Well, you're going to be sick all day. And I'll tell you what, don't be caught lying, calling off work, and you ain't sick. Your faith ain't going to work. You're lying. Liars will be in the lake of fire. See, we get over and things, and look, your faith isn't going to work any better than you are and concerning keeping your word and walking in line. Because you know if you can trust you or not. You can put phony on in front of people. But I'm going to tell you what, your heart knows where you're at. And we should know where our heart is. We should know about our inner man on the inside, where he is and where he's walking. See, we can put on a phony on the outside. We don't put a phony on the outside. We don't want to do that. We want to put on what's right. See, you have substance in the Word of God, and this is why, as the confession of the Word, you need to sit down. You need to, if you need healing, you need to get over in the place where you're talking what the Bible says and you're making confessions about your healing, and you say them till you get to the point you don't think no different about it. If you're just this, well, I read a scripture and I was prayed for and that stuff, most of the time ain't nothing gonna ever happen for you. Kenneth Hagin said, now Kenneth Hagin's once taught me about healing, knew more on the subject than I did. But not anymore. I want you to understand this. He said this every night. Every night, he said, before I go to bed, he said, I always read and meditate on healing scriptures. Every night. I can tell you why. You have a hard time getting healed. You're not consistent in anything. Paul said, you know, he said, I pray in tongues more than you all. I've meditated on healing more than you all. I can just tell you that. Look, this is not criticism. I'm just trying to tell you how this thing works. It takes time. We live in this negative world, and we live in this world's head, and basically trying to change ourselves, it takes some real work to change yourself. And most people are too busy to change themselves, and it won't change. When I heard Kenneth Hagin say, you ministers, you're not going to get most of your people healed. He's talking about from divine healing. You're not going to do it. Why? Why? He said, because people won't do what they need to do to get it. He wasn't talking negative. He just knew how most people are. Because it is work. It is labor. It takes time. It takes conscious effort. Now, I remember back, you know, when Michael and I, when we got to know each other, see, they had this confession stuff. See, back there, there's things about confession and saying things. It's because it's, you know, we understood it. And you know, we all had confession stuff. We all had things that we confessed. I have things that I confess every day that I say concerning me, that I speak over me every day. Numbers of times a day that I say. Why? I want it in me. I want it to become so real that I'm just like those words on that page. I'm just like those words on there. I say them. See, we have the shotgun Christians today. Most Christians are shotgun Christians. They're a little bit out there in everything. They're the jack of all trades and the master of none. And they never really get much success in a lot of areas and that stuff. It's finding yourself and getting yourself over into that area. Many people have hopes and dreams, but will never come into a fruition, and they'll never happen. Why? Because they never get any substance. They don't know how to bring substance to it. What they want is a substance. They want a feeling. They want to see things. They want to have a certain thing in the natural that makes them, you know, that God, well, God spoke to me. People say, well, you know, and I've had people already say, tell them they're healed. They said, well, did God talk to you? Yes, he did, right in the book. He said, by his stripes you were healed. He don't need to say another word to Ed about it. I don't need another discussion on it. If he wants to say something, he can, but he don't have to. Because the book has it in it, what he said on there. Why would I need? My name ain't Thomas. My name's not Thomas. Thomas, I'm only going to believe if I can see and I can touch. Jesus said this, Thomas, those who don't see and believe are the blessed guys. Thomas, you aren't blessed because you see me. Any sinner could have done what you did, Thomas. Any heathen could have done. Herod could have done that, Thomas. It isn't seeing. It isn't, you know. See, we've turned it into spectator sports. You know, healing ministries are spectator sports. People to watch on TV and go, oh, them people. Do you ever get any of it? No, we love watching it. Boy, I'm going to tell you, we got this spectator sport we got going down in here. I'm sorry, Ed's in the game I'm playing. I'm on the field. Hallelujah. We're on the field playing this game. We have a rule book, and man, I'm living by that thing. That thing is mine, and I look at the rule book, and I get out on the field. What do coaches do? When their teams ain't playing well, they don't try new strategies. They go back and say, come on back. Come on, guys. We're going to go back over the basics again. If you can't succeed at something, it's because you don't know the basics. Faith is a basic. It is the basic. It's how everything works in the kingdom. Everything. Everything. What you understand in the areas of faith for healing will work in any other areas of faith. Faith works the same way across the board. It works the same. If you know how the principle works, then you can just apply it to anything you want to apply it to. Put it to any promise you want to put it to. You can lay it to anything you want it to. It'll work for you. That's what Jesus said. All things are possible to him that believeth. See, it wasn't, well, you can't make this happen. You can't make, well, Jesus didn't mean this and he didn't mean that. Well, he didn't mean this and he, see, this is where religion comes. Religion comes in and destroys the whole thing of faith. Now, what can I believe? He didn't mean this. He didn't mean that. And he didn't mean this. Now, what am I going to do? Be careful what you listen to, who you listen to. I don't care how popular they are. If they're robbing faith out of you, it ain't God. That's man talking. No, God has set a system and it'll work. That same faith that you had, that you got born again with, is the same thing that'll produce to bring healing to your body, put money in your pocket, do all kinds of things. It'll do all that same thing, that same principle of faith. It's not something hard to do. What we make it hard to do is because we're listening on the outside so much and we're looking, we get so full of seeing, so full of things. See, you got to sit yourself and say, what am I looking at? I'm going to look at this. I want substance, but I don't want to look at the substance I can touch. I don't want this because the substance I touch is what I don't want. The substance, you know, that I can touch, that's not what I want, that changed in my life. So why do I keep looking at that and confessing that? Why do I want my feelings to change. So what do? I keep talking about my feelings. Keep talking about my feelings. You know, that there's one thing is, I see people, they get divorced. Why? I keep talking about their feelings. They don't talk about, and then they use this thing of heart. Heart has nothing to do with people talk about loving. You ain't got a clue. Most Christians don't even know. They don't pay no attention to their heart when it comes walking in love. All they are is their feelings. Well, I just don't feel right. I don't really care how you feel. If the Bible speaks opposite of your feeling, you have a choice. Produce more of your feelings or produce the Word of God. What substance are you going to take? What will be your substance? Just one thing is God taught me early. See, I couldn't let what my wife do bother what I was going to be. If she did something out of line, he would always deal with me about where I was at. Why? Because he wanted me to know. See, I didn't have to be changed. My feelings didn't have to change because of what she did. My feelings never had to change. See, what she did, I'm gonna love her. I'm going to love her. My feelings might say something else because what she did. And I said, I ain't putting up with them feelings. They're going to take me to know. That ain't the substance I want. But see, I'd get over and I just make confession. Why? I love my wife. You ain't gonna sit around and meditate and think on something else and have another kind of feeling. If you're going to think in another way, no, I've learned. I love my wife. Hallelujah. My wife and I, we're together forever. This is the way it's going to be. See, I say those things. Why? Because eventually they produce a feeling in me. But it is because of the substance of the Word of God being taught and trained in the Word will manifest something if you'll follow the substance. But you can't follow, make the feelings your, if your feelings are your substance, then you speak them, you'll just produce more of that feeling. You're dealing with a lot of pain in something. You don't feel less painful by talking about how painful you are. The more you discuss it, I know, the worse you feel. The more you discuss it, the more you talking about it don't help it, you know. Go take something for it or do something. But speaking about it does not do a thing. There, that substance, if you talk about it, what happens? You get that thing and talk about it, that becomes your substance. Those words are your substance. See, man, I tell you what, I need healing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to confess my problem. This is going to get me healing. Just watch. And I'm going to talk my problem. Now understand this. Not saying, and some people say, well, I'm not going to say anything. Well, that won't produce nothing either. You better be talking the right thing. Saying nothing produces nothing. You have no substance. You have no substance. Now saying the wrong thing is one thing, is guard your tongue. Guard your tongue till you can say the right thing. Learn to do that. Bite your tongue. Now, don't bite it off, but sometimes it might be a good idea. Hold your tongue till you're going to start saying the right thing. You have to, because I'll tell you, every time, you understand, all of us have this happen. In your mind comes a thought. Don't be one of those people who say, I'm going to say what I'm thinking. Say, that might be the wrong thing to be doing in the situation. We've all been there. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Don't do that, folks. You ain't got enough to give away. I got to keep what mind I got. Hallelujah. I got to keep it intact. Hallelujah. Fill it with something decent. But that's what we do. Look, the things I'm changing, Lord, they're true. And it's learning to talk. Is one of the things, see, as I learned over time of this, see, if something comes along or pain or a problem or something like that, I've learned over the years of practicing in my confession, I can bring pain under control really quick. Now, before I couldn't. But there's one thing it is. I wasn't as good as controlling my mouth and what I talk about as I do now. See, I've talked about a lot of things, and over the years, I've learned to confess the right things and say the right things. Over time, I learned. And what happens? I can begin to say things quickly and bring it under control. I don't know any other way than you'd practice that. I don't know any other way. If there's another way, you know, tell me, whatever it is. But I don't know any other way to do it. Is that, but I learned how I can bring pain under control by what I say, what I start saying. And it isn't. See, what happens is most people, they have never practiced or done anything, and they're trying to bring something to pass. They're never really, they've never developed to do. Charles Capp said this, and I want to say it to you. He said, he talked to ministers, but it's you, to any of us could be. He said, don't practice what you preach. Preach what you practice. Most people are telling people to do things they don't even really, they don't even know if it works themselves. They just heard somebody preach it or somebody say it, and they're mimicking things, but they've never proved it out in their life. I've learned this. I preach what I have put to work, and I know that it works or it don't work. Why? Because you can't tell anybody with any confidence if you don't know that if it works. And if you don't have confidence in it, they'll pick it up just like that. They will pick it up just like that. The Lord told me, he said, the more confident, bold you are about knowing what to do, he said, it'll grab people's hearts and it'll bring people to faith. Your lack of confidence, you can't get healed, you're not going to sit around and convince other people about it. Well, they might turn to you and say, why don't it work for you? And then you'll get angry at them. Say, well, I'm believing God. Yes. Well, get healed and come tell me about it. Get it. Go after it. Get it. Why? For your own sake. Your faith is never going to another level till you grab a hold of something. Your faith, it can't. What happens? You're always going to have question. Like, this ain't working. Going to the next one. Is this going to work? You're always going to have that. Folks, that's just the way it is. It's not criticism. It's just the way it is. When God starts to teach me something, I do what Brother Hagin taught us to do. He said, you put it to work, and you start applying it, and when you see it works, then start telling people about it. We're not doing Bible book reports. Don't do that to people. Give them your Bible book report, which you can't do or walk in. You know, it's like an unsaved person trying to tell a person to get saved, you know? We need to get over in these things. And these principles, they work. So you start to practice. You practice on things. Hallelujah. Practice where your faith level is. There's things that I'm just going to tell you. I've learned over years, like I said, about dealing with certain things of pain. I learned over years about how to deal with that. If you haven't done that, don't try to do what I do and, you know, start where I'm at. You don't do that. That'd be dumb. You know, you get a whole bunch of pain because you know this. If you can't bring pain under control, it'll wear you out. It'll wear you out. You won't make it. Your faith won't hold up to the standpoint if you can get so much pain, you can't stay over in the areas of faith. You can't go there. So you're going to have to do something over the natural to deal with that, to that pain, to get yourself. It's number one, pain medication don't heal you anyhow. So don't think you're not going to get healed because you took pain medication. If I don't need it, I ain't taking it. It's one thing, if you needed it, go ahead and take it. But if you don't, I've learned how over time to stand against certain things. I developed in that area, but it was over a long period of time, going through things of constantly setting yourself. But you find where you're at. Find exactly where you're at. And if you can, if you're over in an area of pain, and I've seen people do this, they're over in an area of pain, and they're over there, well, I don't like to take medicine. Not taking medicine is not faith to be healed. That's not faith to be healed. I know people, you know. I did the funeral for a guy that I really liked. I knew he was going to die prematurely. I knew it. Tried to talk to him for a few months about it. He wouldn't listen to me. I could see he wasn't going to be. And he died. He needed to go to a doctor. But see, he used the bit. He was standing in faith. He was going to the doctor. But I knew what was really going on. He's afraid of doctors. So he was in fear of doctors. That ain't faith. That ain't faith. Not going to the doctor ain't faith. My faith, my substance is what the Word says. It's what's in the book. My faith is not the doctor or not the doctor, medicine or not medicine. That's not my faith. My faith is based on the Word of God. The Word of God is my substance that I'm standing on to bring things to pass. The Word of God is. Taking medicine or not taking medicine. You know, as Kenneth Hagin taught us, he said, some people will die because they don't take medicine. And he said, he's talking about Christians, spirit-filled Christians. Some will die. He said, some will die because they do. He said, some will die because they go to the doctor. Some will die because they don't. This is about knowing on the inside. This is not by the outside. See, I've heard people all over the years, well, I don't go to a doctor. Well, I'll tell you what, if I needed one, I'd sure go. You have to know whether you can stand where you're at or not. You need to know. You know, it's like when Wanda's going to have the operation. Sure, and I asked her where she could stand. It don't matter where I can stand. It don't matter where I think I can do. That has nothing to do with nothing. I said, hon, what can you stand? Where can you stand? Wherever you can stand and believe, that's where I'm with you on this thing. This is where we're going. This is the ride we're on. Hallelujah. As number one, she got everything that she said she could believe for and had 100% of it. Wouldn't that be best than trying to stand and you couldn't and end up in a box out in the cemetery somewhere? See, a lot of people, they had faith. We stood on what we knew what the Word of God said. And we stood on what the Word of God said and carried as far as where she could stand. And praise God, she got everything, I tell you, she could believe for. Hallelujah. It was good. It was great. I mean, what she went through, and the doctors were astounded. How she recovered? Well, knowing where she could stand. See, that's what you want to find out. Where I can stand, what I can do, where I can believe. It doesn't matter. Are you setting a goal that you can't get to? That you don't have the faith for? You're not going to do it. You have to get the word. And sometimes one thing that I did, I'm just talking about me personally. I ain't telling you to go ahead and do this. But sometimes I set goals on things, and I did this concerning healing in my body. My goals were further than the average person wanted to try to go. Because if you have a hard time putting up sometimes with pain or putting up with certain things, and you just, you know, some people, they can't put up with a little bit of pain. Boy, I just tell you, every little thing bugs them. I set things out a far away because I just decided I'm going to prove this faith thing's work. I'm going to believe God, and everything from the natural looks like, man, you ought to do something else, buddy. And I'm going to stand it out there on God, and I'm going to put it out there. That's what I did when I got up off the ground after I had every symptom of a heart attack. I'd never tell somebody else to do that. But I had years of putting the Word of God in me and years of standing and seeing healings, seeing God working and doing stuff. I had years of that. And the old thought that came to my mind, I always thought about everybody that ever had a heart attack. They're always taking all these medications, all this stuff, and all the stuff they go through. And that thought came to my mind, and I said, I ain't doing it. I'd rather be dead than live that life. But then you have to find out, what kind of life do you want to live? What life do you want to live? And I said out there, I said, I'm going for a run. Now that, I'm going to tell you, there's naturally, that sounds crazy, but I want you to understand something. I had substance I was standing on. My substance, I wasn't asking for somebody else to come and pray for me. I already had substance. See, when you have to get everybody else around and about it, what you're doing is saying, I'm not so sure I can stand in this thing. There's nothing wrong with that if you can't. That's what I'm saying. You don't go where I went. When you know you got it, I knew I had it. I knew the devil wasn't killing me. I told him, I said, this ain't between you and me. This is between God. He kept saying, you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. I didn't care. He taught. I said, you have nothing to do with this. This is between me and my God. And my God said, I'm healed. That's what my God said. See, I had substance. Now, you don't get into that kind of situation. I'm not blowing my horn and getting big. It took me years from the time of that happened. Think about it. 1980, January 1980, I get born again. This happened. This is after the church is on and the church is gone. This is down here. We're in the 1990s. And this takes place. And I had years of putting the word in me, years of grabbing a hold of health, years of taking a hold of things. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't. So this is where it came to. And when it came, I said, no, I'm going to live, not die. That will not happen. See, I had substance. If you need help, you get help. You find out. But you must know where you can stand. This is why I'm encouraging this. You need to get your confessions and your things in line that you're saying things all the time. I have things I say about my health and my money. And those things are spoken concerning all the time that I make confessions. And I'm saying those things. And those things are inside of me. And this is a direction. I have substance. I'm not just blowing wind. I got substance. The Word is my substance. And I can stand on it. Just as I'm standing on this floor, here's substance. The Word of God is greater than this floor that I stand on here. This floor can be moved. The Word of God cannot be. And you got to arrive at the place where the Word of God is more real to you than the floor. It's more real to you than these walls and these windows and this chair that you sit on. That the Word of God can change any of this. Can make any of it change. Its substance will create whatever it is that I will stand and believe God for. All things are possible to him that believeth. You got to get into that place, folks. And I'm just telling you how you do it. It's work. It's work. We're called to this thing and it's work. Hallelujah. You're in the fight of faith, folks. It's a good fight because you get into this fight, you win. But I'm going to tell you what, you'll be fighting. You'll be fighting. There's a fight. But I just wanted to get a hold today of anything you get. Praise God, your tongue's a tree of life. And the Word of God is your substance that produces the fruit of that tree. And you get the Word of God. You take the time to find out what you need to be standing on for the situation. You want to change the situation. I've said this time and time again. Don't try to change 10 situations. You find something that you need to change. You want to bring it to a change. Make sure you get on that thing. Begin to speak concerning that thing. Get some things at confessions. You go online, there's all kinds of things about confession, good confessions, things you can say that are in line with the Word of God. Make sure when you look at a confession, though, that it does have Scripture to back it. Because number one, you'll get over there and the devil will get in your mind to the areas and start to speak to you about things. And after a while, you'll maybe God didn't say that. Maybe God didn't know that it's Scripture say it. See, this is why you want to find out who you are in Christ Jesus and confess those things. See, you're a child of God. You're a new creation. Hallelujah. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Glory to God, I'm a new person. I'm in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The good work he started in me, he said he's going to bring it to completion. I'm walking in these things. This is where I'm at. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm sick. If I'm not sick, I'm well in the name of Jesus. Jesus took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. By his stripes I was healed. Glory to God. I'm healed and I'm the healed of the Lord. You know? And start saying those things. This is what I am. You're going to say them one or two times and have something happen. You're going to have to get them and keep throwing them seeds in the ground. So your spirit gets so full of growing trees of healing inside of you that you have so much fruit of it coming out of you, hallelujah, that when something shows up, there's not room for something else in there. There's not room for junk. There's not room in it. See, you want to get it in. You want to have so much substance. Well, the first thing that comes to your mind when something happens with sickness, it ain't the first thing that's on your mind. Let's go to the doctor and find out what it is. I hear people teach this nonsense out here. Some of these so-called faith teachers. Well, go to the doctor and find out what your problem is so you can know what you need to stand against. Dear God, I feel, if my body says it's feeling bad, I don't need to go to the doctor to tell him to tell me my body's feeling bad. I know I'd go to the Scripture says by his stripes I'm healed, so I shouldn't be having this feeling bad. I don't need to pay a doctor to tell me. That is the most biggest nonsense. Now think about this. How many times are people misdiagnosed? If they are, then they can't get healed. Think of the nonsense. Why would people believe such stupidity? I don't need to hear what the doctor says to know if I can get healed. Glory to God. Jesus already took my infirmity, already bore my sickness. Why would I ever think of something so stupid? Glory to God. Stand on the Word of God and say, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Healing will produce in you from the substance, not by you know what the problem is. The Word produces the substance. Oh, it's a substance and it produces the healing. Glory to God. I mean, those poor guys in the Old Testament, they'd have a bunch of doctors who can find out. They know what's going on inside. I guess they couldn't get healed. And here's what those dumb preachers will say. Well, God understood. Yeah, he understands that they're idiots. See, what they do is they take spiritual things, drag them into the natural, and destroy them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go over to your substance. The Word is yours. Let's stand to our feet. The Word is your substance today. The Word of God. Hallelujah. Your tongue is a tree of life. Your tongue is a tree of life. Your tongue is a remedy. It's a medicine to your problem. Just think about that. Your tongue. See, now I say it with my mouth. Now, I've been saying this thing and saying this thing, and I've been all week. In fact, last week I actually had this teaching, and we didn't go there. God changed it, and He wanted it this week, so He did. So meanwhile, I've been saying these things and saying these things and saying these things, going over these things and these scriptures and saying these. See, it's one thing is you meditate on scriptures. See, people try to get sermons. I don't try to get sermons. I meditate on scriptures. What I do is I meditate on them, and meditating means this. I ponder on them and say them with my mouth. Till those scriptures just become alive in me, that those scriptures get inside of me, that those scriptures become part of what I am. That's what you want. You want the substance. See, I'm up here preaching from substance. That's, you want to speak from substance. That's where you want to speak. Hallelujah. You want to bring things into existence. You speak the substance, the Word of God. Hallelujah. And your substance that you're speaking, that you believe in your heart, is going to produce for you what you need. Your hope is no longer out there. Your hope is yours. You have it. It belongs to you. Oh, it don't get no better than that, folks. It's yours. Why? You can say it's yours because you have the substance of it. If the Word said it's yours, you have the substance. If you're looking at hope, you're always trying to get the substance. You're always trying to get it to manifest. You're always trying to get... Let me just say this. Don't get over and ever do this stupid thing. I'm believing for the manifestation. That is called unbelief. I've heard that said. Well, we're believing for the manifestation. If I believed I received it, the manifestation's going to show up. If I start believing, in other words, I'm going to believe for a feeling. I'm going to believe for what I can see with my eyes. No, Bible didn't tell me I was supposed to do that. Bible never told me I was supposed to believe for a manifestation. Never one time. Did Jesus ever tell anybody to believe for a manifestation? The only people who do that is crazy preachers and other Christians. Say those things. God told me what to believe. He told me to believe what that promise was, believe I receive it. That's my job. I believe that it's mine. I have it. I know this. It has to manifest. Can't do it. If I believe it in my heart, and I've said it with my mouth, and I'm acting like it's true, it has to come to pass. If I'm believing for a manifestation, what I'm going to do is I'm only going to believe when I see something. That's when my believing is going to be considered final. No, my believing was final when I decided that the Word of God is true. It became my substance. When the thing manifests, I no longer need faith. I don't need faith anymore. Now I can see it. Now I can touch it. Now I can feel it. Hallelujah. So don't get caught over that. We're believing for a manifestation. I watch people that were on the mend healing, and then they'd come over, and somebody'd say, well, the full manifestation hasn't come yet. Let's believe for a full manifestation. And I watched that, and they got the people over in unbelief, and the person turned around and lost their healing. When they started off, they weren't believing for a full manifestation. They were only believing for a half one. Think about what you say, folks. Think about what you get out of your mouth. See, many people destroy by getting over and doing what they think is nice religious stuff to do, and it changes not. Just like Jesus, when Jairus came to him, said, you come and you lay hands on my daughter, she'll live and not die. They came and said, your daughter's dead. Jesus said, Jairus, hold your mouth shut. Don't you say another word, you just believe. Jesus went to the house and said, the daughter's asleep. And what did everybody say? These are all the covenant people, left him to scorn. These are the covenant people. And Jesus went in and woke her up. It is, just think about it. She's asleep. She ain't dead. She's asleep. Jesus is in there waking up a girl that ain't dead. He don't believe she's dead. Because Jairus said, if you come and lay hands on her, he said, I'm following your faith. He said, Jairus, don't you change. Jairus, oh Lord God, come and raise my daughter from the dead. He would have killed everything. This is wild. I'm going to tell you why. It wouldn't have never worked. Because it would have been a statement out of fear and not by faith. When things change and people change their confession, 99.9% of the time they make their confession change because of their fear of what just happened. And it's not a faith confession, it's a fear confession. Hallelujah. I don't care how something seems to be changing. My confession stays the same. I'm believing. I'm heading in a direction. I'm not moving. Hallelujah. See, you can't let it change. Once you have your substance is going to produce what you want. If you change, now you're working with another substance. You just set things back. Folks, this is good teaching stuff. If you understand, this is the practical side of it, because there's so much said out here and people don't get what they want because they're following, listening to all this stuff, people saying things. If I'm going to listen to somebody in healing, I want to know somebody who knows how to get it, not somebody's given their theories. I don't need theoretical healing. I need the real thing. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you today. Lord God, your plan is for us to be blessed. Your plan, Lord God, is for this people to understand and to walk in these things. Lord God, Lord, you're saying these things because, Lord, in these last days, there's things to be brought to pass. Lord God, not little things, but major things and big things that need to be brought to pass. And Lord God, it's time, Lord, that we step up. And Lord, I know, Lord God, you've been dealing with me. It's a time to step up into a place of faith that we ain't walked before. But Lord God, that can be maintained and taken to. Lord God, you're giving us the things that we need to walk in that place. You're revealing to us what to do. And Lord God, we're stepping into that place, Lord God, Lord, because of these major things that you want to do, it's going to require a lot more of us in our inner man to follow, hallelujah, and walking in these things. But Lord God, I just want to thank you because, Lord, it is not hard. Our faith will take us there. We can go there. We can walk there. We can go to that place. And I thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, you're working in us. You're working in each one of these, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, these things, Lord, you know, we're not speaking these things to criticize anybody. Lord, we're not saying anything. Lord, these things that people must know, Lord God. Lord, there's dreams and visions within individuals here. Lord God, that the only way that'll ever be reached is by faith. It cannot be done in any other way. Lord God, things that are out of reach of humanity and what man can do. And Lord God, their desire is to see that come to pass. There is a hope that they have. But Lord God, that hope can't keep getting pushed out there. And Lord God, they won't be pushed out there. Lord God, Lord, there's ones that you've spoken to in this place. You have spoken to them about things. You have said things to them. And Lord God, they have not made them those things their confession. They have not made those things that you revealed to them. And Lord God, I pray today that they'll pick those things up. They'll pick those things up and begin to speak, Lord God, concerning your destiny that you've given them. The destiny, Lord God, that you put in them, Lord God, that they would see, Lord God, begin to speak those, hallelujah. Oh, just like what Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God that's in you. Stir up what he said. Stir up what he spoke. It might seem like, oh man, I've gotten so far out away from it. I'm so far from it. But God spoke to you. You can pick that dream up, that vision up again. Pick it up. Pick it up and say it. You say, well, yeah, but it seems like that, but no, maybe that isn't just me. It seems impossible. Well, then it's probably God if it seems impossible. Because if it's possible and you could do it, it probably wasn't God anyhow. Hallelujah. Because you're going to need God to fulfill the dreams and the things that are in you to do. You need His grace. You need His ability working on your behalf to bring it to pass. And start speaking those things. Start saying those things. Hallelujah. That are inside of you. Hallelujah. That the Holy Spirit has spoke. Some have laid them down like I did. I laid some things down for years and didn't say them. And Lord God, you reminded me to pick them up again and beginning to speak those things. And Father, I want to thank you. In years past, there's been words of prophecy said. There's been things, Lord God, that have come up in individuals. Father, I pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, that they'll grab a hold of that thing again and they'll bring it back to their lips. It's not just to be thought about. It's to be said. Oh, you don't have to go out and confess it to everybody else and tell everybody else about it or anybody else about it. You just speak it between you and God. You say it between you and God. You talk it and say, Lord, you said such and such to me. Then that will come to pass because that's what your destiny for me. That's what you said. And Lord God, I'm going to say what you said. And when you go to pray for him, don't prayer about a problem, go there and pray and take those words to him and say, Lord, this is what you revealed to me and this is what you said. And Lord God, this is what you're going to do. You're going to carry it out. Lord, I don't know how you're going to carry it out, but I'm standing on the substance I got. On the substance, your words are my substance, and I'm going to stand at this spot. And you're going to bring that to pass, and I don't know how. I'm going to go to bed night and every night, and I'm going to wake up in the morning, and I'm going to go to bed the next night, and I'm going to wake up. But that fruit's a coming. That thing is going to come into manifestation, and I don't know how. And Lord God, we don't need to know how. We just have to have the substance. And I thank you, Lord God, you're bringing those things to pass. You're bringing them. Lord God, they're going to step into those offices you called them to. They're going to step into those places, Lord God, that you called them to. Lord, that glory that you told them that they would walk in one day, they will walk in that glory, that place they'll walk in. And God will manifest himself. He'll manifest himself to you and through you. Hallelujah. Just as he said he would, as he promised, is in the scriptures are true. Hallelujah. See, you can go. See, some of you are saying, well, I don't have a vision. Well, get one out of the Bible. Go down. In the name of Jesus, it says you can cast out devils. I tell you, get a cast out devil ministry. Hallelujah. It says you can do that. You can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Sit down and say, start, begin to confess those things. This is what God's called me to do. This is the church of Jesus Christ, and I'm part of the church of Jesus Christ. I can cast out devils. Hallelujah. I can speak in new tongues. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Hallelujah. And if the devil bites me, I can cast him off in the name of Jesus, and it don't matter none. Hallelujah. I can do those. See, to start to say, many people are looking for a ministry. Start confessing the ministry Jesus Christ gave the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's where we're walking. That's what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. I tell you, that's plenty of ministry right there, isn't it? That's plenty of ministry. I'll tell you, I'll preach the word, glory to God. I'll say what the word says, glory to God. And God, I'll tell you what, hallelujah, the devil will run from me. Hallelujah, I can cast him out in Jesus' name. Glory to God, sickness and disease will be afraid of me. Hallelujah, because in the name of Jesus, I can lay hands on the sick and the sickness will leave in Jesus' name. You see, we start saying things and start speaking things instead of waiting for stuff. Always that hope out there that takes you nowhere. Hallelujah, glory to God. Start saying them. These are the things that we have. Hallelujah. You know, I'm convinced of this. If you start saying what God already says you have, don't be surprised. He speaks to you and tells you about more things you didn't know. Hallelujah. And reveal things specifically. See, so I learned this. Sometimes I had to walk in things generally before he would ever speak specifically to me about something. It wasn't until I started walking generally in what the word said, and then he started talking to me specifically. Hallelujah. He just spoke to me here last week about something specifically, a ministry I had senses about over the years, but he spoke specifically to me about it. And because pushing certain things I was pushing over into. And so he starts talking specifically. He'll do the same for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Start saying these things. Make these things your confession. I mean, they're there in the Bible. It says I can cast out devils. This happens to me all the time. People call me and ask me to cast a devil out. The Bible says you can't. Why would you call? Why would somebody? I don't understand. Christians call me. I've had it over the years. I've had ministers call me. Come deal with the devils, which is people problem, having problems with them. And they're supposed to be spirit filled. I don't know what spirit they got, but it ain't mine. It ain't the one that God gave me. You know, see, we can do these things. You know, let's get the pastor to lay hands on the sick. You can lay hands on the sick. See, is the word true to you? See, it's fine, it's true to me, you know. Thank God for Benny Hinn, but I'm just going to tell you personally, I don't need Benny Hinn. Now, it's not a matter. Thank God he got a valid ministry. Thank God. God's working to reach out to people and do stuff. But God's intent is we're not going to all need Benny Hinn's ministry. It's never his intent. Hallelujah. His intent was that we believe, as individuals, believe the word. And I'm just going to tell you, most Christians, most especially spirit-filled Christians, ain't going to get healed these meetings. They ain't going to happen to them. They're going to have to stand in faith. So let's do that. We start to confess those things. Number one, if you want to grow up spiritually, you got to become a minister instead of somebody to be ministered to all the time. I'm just going to tell you, that's what you have to become. That's the way it works. You don't need to develop big in faith if you ain't going to minister. You don't need to. What are you going to do? I'm going to minister. I'm going to do something. I'm doing something with what I got. Hallelujah. That's why you want to cast out devils. You want to get with the devil, obey you in your home. Hallelujah. Ain't going to listen to you out there anyplace else if he don't listen to you in your own house. You want to get him to listen to you in your house. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus, the devil will leave when I tell him to. See, you need to start saying things like that. It's scriptural. It's in line with the word. The devil leaves in the name of Jesus. You need to start saying that. See, you don't wait till something bad happens, then pull that scripture up. It had been good before you ever knew the devil was even around. You've been saying that, getting that into you. And when you finally know the devil's doing something, it's automatic, comes up out of you. Devil, I command you to stop it in the name of Jesus. Get out of here. It won't be this, well, it's fine. What did the Bible say about that? Let me see. Let's go down here and get this. And I'll make a confession. I don't understand why it didn't happen. I said that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we as the Church of Jesus Christ, we're at a time of year, Lord God, in Thanksgiving time. And Lord God, in our nation, it don't mean much anymore. It don't mean much of anything. And Lord God, we do a desire, Lord God, and we should be so thankful. Lord God, forgive us as a nation because there's so much complaint in our nation. While people sit with their mouths filled with food and gripe about problems, they have nice homes to live in. They have all kinds of stuff and griping and complaining. And Lord God, forgive us. Please don't give us what we deserve. Don't give us what we deserve as a nation. Lord God, Lord, we don't want to be unthankful and ungrateful. Lord God, compared, we don't even know hardly what poor is in America to the rest of the world, what poor is. Lord God, the poor people in America get more money from the government than most people will get in 10 years and 20 years in another nation. And we get in 1 year. And Father God, there's more things out here of people. There's more food handed out. There's more things going on in our nation here in this place. Lord God, and still, Lord God, there's voices that are complaining and griping and moaning. Father, forgive us. Lord God, as a nation, in many ways, we left you sit in the dust. I do want to thank you so much, though, for a president that you gave us. A president who has helped the Church of Jesus Christ, who has helped us. But Lord God, we need to walk in the light of the help that he's given us. You've given us, Lord God, but it isn't because the church deserved it. The church is not generally, Lord God. I thank you for all the Christians who understand it. But go, Lord God, the majority of Christianity has not deserved the president we got. They don't deserve him. You gave it out of your mercy and kindness because ones who understood called to your name and asked. And you responded, not by the majority, but you responded because of a remnant. Lord God, you're so merciful. You're absolutely phenomenal. How good you are. And I want to just thank you for it. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for not letting our nation fall into what it should. Lord God, the Satan would have the right to take it over. But Lord God, there's a voice among the righteous who have stood. There's always been the remnant of faith who have stood in your face, Lord God. And Lord God, there are people who have believed what your word says in spite of all adversity and in spite of all things. And Lord God, I thank you so much for those people. Lord God, Lord, if it wouldn't have been even people yesteryears, Lord. Yesteryears, there's individuals who walked. And Lord God, we have the messages we have today because of their faithfulness of where they walked. And the things that they brought to us and they carried. And Lord, many of those carried this nation on their back for us to come to this day and come to this hour. And Lord God, I thank you so much that there's always been a people that you've had. And Lord God, we honor. Lord God, I want to thank you because I believe they're looking over the banister of heaven today. They're that great cloud of witnesses. Hallelujah. And Lord God, they're here cheering us on down here in this place. And Father God, we just stand today and we just say, Lord God, thank you for being so merciful to America. Thank you for being kind to us. When we did never deserve the kindness, but you gave us kindness, hallelujah. Lord God, we've asked for help and you gave us help after we had turned your back. But Lord God, just like with Israel, they would turn their back and they'd walk away. Judgment would fall, but they would turn back to you and you'd come back again with open arms. You're incredible. You're phenomenal. Hallelujah. There is none like you. And so Lord God, number one of this Thanksgiving season, I want to thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ, your Son. Lord God, for taking us, lost in sin, No way out of it. No way out, Lord God. Our only destiny was a lake of fire. That was our own destiny. But your great love that was started before the foundation of the earth that reached in to our time and manifested the Son of God who redeemed us. That only through faith we could achieve all that he accomplished. Lord God, you talk about the gift of God. Phenomenal. All that he accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection has become ours through faith in what he did. All the blessing of heaven belonging to us today. Lord God, you're not going to give us a blessing. You've already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Lord God, every blessing of the book belongs to us. It's ours. And Lord God, I want to thank you because you redeemed us from the curse of the law. Oh, Lord God, we deserved every curse that was in the book. We deserved every evil thing that would come on us. But what did you do in your great love and mercy? Lord God, you didn't give us or send us that. You redeemed us through Christ Jesus. And Lord God, instead of the curse, we got the blessing. That we would be blessed coming in and going out. That we would be the heads and not the tails. That we would be above and not beneath. Lord God, that our bread baskets would be full. Lord God, that our bank accounts would be full. Lord God, that we'd have healing in our bodies, Lord God. That our offspring would be blessed in the name of Jesus. You offered us all of those things. You gave them through a redemption. We did not earn. We got it just simply by faith. And Lord God, no longer does the curse belong to us. Oh, Lord God, so thankful. So thankful, Lord God. And Lord God, Lord, if we never got anything else from you, Lord God, it's so super abundant, above and beyond. But Lord God, you told us in the redemption that you redeemed us from the curse. You said so we would get the promise of the Spirit. Oh, my, my, my. You gave us the promised Holy Spirit. Lord God, that God would walk every day in us and with us. That God would be a personal teacher inside of us. That God would quicken our own mortal bodies and make them alive. Hallelujah. Lord, that every day as we walk, the teacher is taking what belongs to our beloved Jesus and revealing it to us. As we will walk along all the days, Lord God, your glory and your power is working inside of us in every place we walk and in everything that we do. Lord God, how much we have to be thankful for. But Lord, I look into the future. And Lord, I want to thank you for our future. Lord, I want to thank you. Lord God, you did what you did in the past. So a future could be attained in this earth. So through faith, we would take a hold of a future and bring it to this generation, to this day, and to this hour. And Lord God, there's a glory that we're going to bring. The glory that will be poured out. It will be poured out through the remnant in the church. The ones who by faith are going to stand with you, Lord God. Lord, and your glory is going to be poured out. Lord God, as the prophet Kenneth Hagin said, there's a healing revival that's going to come. It's going to outshine every healing revival and all of them put together. Lord God, the glory of God is going to be poured out. Healing will become just a natural thing. Lord God, it'll seem, hallelujah, that the healing power of God will be working in the earth. Lord God, we want to thank you. For Lord, when he looked out, he said to us, he spoke to us and said, oh, the glory that's coming. He said, there's no way to tell. There's no way to say with words what it's like. It is so glorious and it's so wonderful what's coming that you can't say it with words, that we'll be shocked. It's going to be beyond our imaginations, the glory that will be revealed in these last days and hours. And Lord God, our faith is taking a hold of that. Lord God, what that prophet said is my substance. I call that, Lord God, and I said that glory will take place. And it will take place in our time and in our generation. And we will walk and we will minister that glory. That's what we'll do. That's what we've been called to. And we will walk in that glory. We're going to live in that glory in these days and hours. And a great harvest is going to be reaped in the earth. A great harvest is coming forth. And many, Lord God, Lord God, many who have walked and waned in the past and have not walked faithfully, many will come and walk again in the glory. Lord God, the great division will come. There'll be people who are out and people who are in. And the people who are in, glory will come upon them. And they will walk in a glory. Hallelujah. Lord, that is seen, Lord God, what is not able to be explained, a glory that is so great beyond the imagination of man, where all things are possible to him that believeth. And we thank you, Father God, that's our day and that's where we're walking to. And Lord God, that's my thanksgiving. That's my thanksgiving, Lord God. That's my thanksgiving. My thanksgiving is about what you're going to come. I appreciate everything you did, but you have a glory to come that's even greater, hallelujah, than what you did in the past, hallelujah. Lord God, in this valley shall be a great place of light, and light shall shine in this valley, and men and women will come from the north and the south and the east and the west, and they will come to the light of the glory of God that shall be in this place, and manifestations of the Spirit will operate, and great glory will be shown through this valley. Hallelujah. People will come from places of darkness to come here to bask in the glory of God that He has planned for the centuries, that this would come and these days would happen in this place. And then the closing day when Jesus Christ returns and takes the church. Oh, yes, yes. And multitude after multitude after multitude will be ready and waiting for the return of Jesus Christ, a church that is ready for the glory of God. And this is for our day and for our time and for our glory. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, God says those things. Things are prophesied not to just make you feel good. They're prophesied for you to pick up and say. If you're not saying what the prophecy is, it's just like in the Bible. If I don't speak what the prophecy said, it's just on the page. It might sound nice, but see, you pick it up and you begin to say it. Do you believe that was God? Well, if it was, then it needs to be spoken. You see how God works? If stuff isn't spoken, it ain't going to happen. Why did God talk to the prophets? If God was just going to do it, He wouldn't have to say nothing to nobody. God spoke to the prophets and what the prophets would say it. See, and then we're supposed to pick it up and we're supposed to say what the prophet said. This is what God said. See, we need to be speaking what the prophet says. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, what I prophesied there, it was what I prophesied back in early 1981, standing up here on top of Sunset Hill. You see, and I still say those things. I say, because that was the word of the Lord. What will bring them to pass is somebody operating on faith. See, those words are my substance, that'll take place. Those words, that stuff will take place because I've given substance to it. I've given substance to it by taking those words. They're the substance to that. Hallelujah. See, we need to do those things. See, last time we get prophecies and we see what they say, and no, that's really good, and that's as far as it goes. That don't bring nothing to pass. You got to get it in you saying those prophecies. Till after a while, praise God. What God said, that's coming to pass. That's a happening. Hallelujah. Over the years, I've said things that Brother Hagin's prophesied in meetings, and I said, that's the way it's going to be. This end times, this is the way it's going to be. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. See, I'm living here in this earth. He ain't. He's gone. He can't bring it to pass. Isaiah ain't bringing it to pass. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus stood and confessed Isaiah. Isaiah was done dead. Jesus is confessing. Jesus has said, this was said about me. Did he not say it? No, he spoke it. He spoke it and he spoke it. Every place he went, he spoke that. Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. He spoke that every place he went. Man, that was in him. It was in him. He's producing. He's producing out of him. And you do the same thing. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God this week for what he's done in the past. Be thankful. We're supposed to be thankful for what we have. But I tell you, don't leave it at that. I'm thankful. My faith is speaking. Thankfulness of the future. Of what's coming in the future, the glory of the future. We want to keep those things and keep them out in front. Amen? Praise God.